All right, if you would turn to Proverbs 12:13 this morning, Proverbs 12:13, as we continue our study in this wonderful chapter of this wonderful book. Proverbs 12:13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. So we have words like wicked. We've discussed that. Snared, we have a trap here. We have the word transgression, which is sin. And we have lips, of course, that's describing the mouth and what comes out of the mouth. And then we have that word just, which is another name for righteous. In other Proverbs, we see that word as righteous. And then we have trouble. We come out of trouble. It's good to be out of trouble. But the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Now, we who have a belief in Christ, we who are believers, we're told that we are to have the mind of Christ. You know, there's a transformation taking place in your mind when you come out of Satan's family and you enter into God's family, Christ's family. There's a transformation of mind to take place, and we are told that we are to have the mind of Christ. And in the mind of Christ is the truth that God has created a moral universe. We live in a moral universe, and it is easy, it's very easy to see God's morality in the physical world by the idea of cause and effect. Now, gravity is a moral law. For gravity conforms to rules of right established by its maker. Have you ever tried to defy that law? Well, generally, if you try to defy that law, you're going to be in trouble. That law is constant. That law is a moral law. God has established that law, and that law is always to be. Gravity does not do that which was right in its own eyes, but always does right according to the eyes of its maker, always obeys its maker. Always does what it was designed to do. It is no respecter of persons. You know, a king can't disobey a gravity. A child can't disobey gravity. The president can't disobey gravity. There's no respecter of persons. And anyone who challenges that will be found himself humbled by its consistent application. Never deviates. Now, today, we live in the days as in the days of the judges. Now, if you go into the book of Judges, you'll find that verse that says, each man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's basically the primary verse of the book of Judges. Each man did that which was right in his own eyes. And today we live in that kind of age. Today is a day where normal societal barriers that have been recognized as good for millennia. You know, what pride. You think about the pride of the current generation. To think that the millenniums of the past, the people of the past for millennia who have observed certain barriers, and you think about the pride of the current generation who cast that aside, telling those generations, you're fools and we know better. But that's the case of today. They're being cast aside without any thought of the consequences upon society of those actions. No thought of the consequences. Now, in a moral universe that God has created, this is a very dangerous practice, for it disregards cause and effect. Now, we have learned in the Proverbs that the lot is cast into the lap. Now, there was a procedure for choosing things in the past. It was called the lot. Perhaps it was black balls and white balls, reaching into a bag, choosing one of those to determine a decision. In this case, the lot is cast into the lap, but then the Bible tells us that the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, God, in giving us free will, you have free will, do you not? You could decide this morning whether you wanted to get up at 6 o'clock or 6:15. You had free will. God did not interfere with your free will. And He gives us free will, and He allows us to cast the lot. But He does not allow the whole disposing of the outcome of the casting of the lot to us. He says to us, you can be the cause, but I will determine the effect. Now, so we're kind of co-laborers in this process with God. You know, and that's true about all of the things that we do. We kind of work together with God. God does His part. We do our part. He says, you can cast the lot, but I'm going to hold the effect. Now, Proverbs 26:27 tells of a man who digs a pit, and the purpose of digging the pit is to trap others. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, maybe you didn't dig a pit, but did you do something to trap others? Sometimes we do it with words. So this man digs a pit in order to trap others. And it also tells of a man who rolls a stone in place in order for it to fall on another. Wow, that's nasty. Now, this man has great plans to do hurt. He has great plans to do damage to others, so he puts into place causes that he determines will bring that about. Works around it, thinks about it, makes great plans about it. Puts into place this pit, puts into place this stone, ready to do hurt and damage to others. Everything is in place. The pit is dug. Perhaps the pit is disguised to deceive. You know how you do that with the branches over and the leaves over the pit. And a stone is so placed that the movement of the unwitting victim will bring it down upon him. You know, the man is so satisfied and so proud, for he so carefully has crafted these plans of destruction. Now, there's something missing in his plans. And that missing thing is the fact that he has forgotten God. God's in the equation here. And he's forgotten this truth, which says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Ho-ho! Now, he dug the pit. Falling therein was caused by someone else. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Now, this man has made careful and detailed plans, but he has forgotten that God keeps the effect to himself for all that which is caused by the man, for the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, we believe that as believers. Now, do we live it? That's another story. But you know, I believe one of the great truths that is falling by the wayside in the homes of America is this truth. Now, mothers and fathers and mothers and father wannabes, you young folks, it is your duty to teach this truth to your children. Now, this truth, son, this truth, daughter, is that there are consequences to every action that you take. My, how you need to teach that. You know, every decision puts in place consequences of that decision. Whether the child is a tiny baby or an old person, there are consequences to every decision. You know, and many times, well, of course, in the lives of your children, most times, parents, you are the appointed ones to bring about those consequences. You have a duty to bring about consequences in the lives of your children. You know, and unfortunately, this duty is being neglected by many. Now, you want to hear a barbershop story. Men always have good barbershop stories if you pay attention. Now, it depends on which barbershop you go to. If you go to one of those fancy places, shame on you, men. You got to go to an old-fashioned barbershop with an old-fashioned barber, like Rob. Rob's a barber. And I go to one of those. It's just an old-timey barbershop. And I was waiting my turn in the barbershop, and my eye glanced over to something new in the shop, and it was a chair. A nice, comfortable chair. It was much more comfortable than the chair that I was sitting on it. One of those kind of a lounge chairs, but it was able to turn and spin. And on the back of the chair was a note saying this: "This is the barber's personal chair." It was written on yellow paper by hand, not printed. "Children are not allowed in this chair, for it is reserved for the barber." So, you know, that caught my eye. You don't see that often. You don't see anything often today about rebuke of children. So my curiosity grabbed me, and I asked what was going on with this new comfortable-looking chair. And my barber, who is a very countrified fellow — now, that's a compliment, I like countrified folks — he told me in his own country way — now, some of you fellas know who I'm talking about, I'm not going to mention him because this will go on the radio or on internet — but he told me that the sign was the result of a child who accompanied to the barber shop by both parents. Now, there's a fact that you need to pay attention to. And waiting his turn, decided to jump into the chair and go for a spin or two or 100. Boy, he just spinned and spinned and spinned, and it just became too much for the barber, who pointed to the other chairs placed there for those who wait for service. And he sternly said to the boy, "That chair over there is where you are to sit and wait." So the boy's parents said not a thing, as the boy reluctantly, most likely — he didn't say this, I'm adding the pouty lip, because Am I wrong? No. You get the pouty lip. He went to the appointed chair, sat down, and began his wait. Now, just an aside here. I heard on the television this week that 93% of communication is nonverbal. 7% is verbal. 93 is nonverbal. Parents, watch the nonverbal communication of your children. Don't just deal with the 7% verbal, but deal with the nonverbal. Watch that pouty lip. So he goes to the chair, parents saying not a thing. But you know, this boy had not been taught to wait. There's another lesson. Our children being taught to wait. That's something that children ought to learn. So after a few minutes, He gets up. He's attracted by the chair. The chair is calling to him. So he goes to the chair, jumps in, and spins around in fun to his heart's content. The barber looks at the boy, points to the other chairs where customers sit, and tells the boy to go sit in your appointed chair. Now, do the parents enter into this? No. They don't enter it. They're sitting there like this. So the only consequence that child had to face was the stern command from the barber, the parents seemingly not wishing to bring about any discomfort to their child. You know, I didn't have parents like that that worried about my comfort. They didn't worry about a little boy's comfort. They worried about their comfort. So again, no doubt, teaching moments were neglected in the life of this boy by his parents refusing to bring consequences into his life. You know, that child has been living in a world in which every place he found himself was a playroom. Now think about that. Every place he found himself was a playroom in his mind. That child had been living in a world where every piece of furniture belonged to him and was his toy to do with as he desired. Now think about that. That's pretty common today. You know, you're right. His parents hated him. The Bible tells us that. When I was a boy, and I kind of hate to bring this up because that's what old people do. Don't put your shoes on the furniture, son. Your dad worked hard to get that. We don't do that in our house. In other words, there was a respect of things. There was a place for this and a place for that, a place for playing, a place for waiting, a place for sitting. But this child hadn't been taught discernment, where this young boy would know what was proper and right under different circumstances and in different places. You know, that's something that we all have to learn. This was a teaching moment where this boy was to be taught to sit still quietly in one place. Oh, he's just a child. Yeah, he's just a child. So what? Train him until his turn came to move to the big chair for his haircut. This was a teaching moment where this boy should have been taught that the barber shop is an adult place. There are children's places and there are adult places. This is an adult place. And one day you will be an adult, and this is how adults act. Boring, yes. Sitting in their chair quietly. Boring. Life is boring sometimes. We're not here to make it exciting for you. You know, parents, don't forget you are given to rear children to be adults. Are you not? You know, God does His part. We were talking about God doing His part. Every day, God adds to your child's stature. What's happening? Well, his stature is being increased on a pretty direct rate. What's happening? God's intending him to be entering the adult world. You got to get on board and do your part, you see. You should go with God and make them, over time, to fit their body. God's moving them towards adulthood. You've got to get on board and move them there also. You know, each day you are given a chore to add to them adult-like qualities, for childhood is to be a temporary condition.
Oh, my child, what's happening?
They're becoming adults. And if you do not do this, don't be surprised when your children are still living at home at age 26 without a medical insurance policy of their own. Don't be surprised. Our government's pushing it. Why? Because they recognize that the teenagers of old are now 26. So this lack of learning discernment will result in consequences far more harmful in this child's years to come because of his parents' neglect in this simple scenario. You know, people would say, well, why do you make such a big deal out of this? Well, this is where it starts. Opportunities abounded for those parents. You know, you go into the prisons, and if people would be honest with you, they will tell you that they were not taught that there are consequences when they're children. The prisons are filled with those who refuse to believe God's principle of cause and effect. You know, God gives parents the duty to bring consequences into the life of their children at an age where the consequences are not fatal or so serious as to be crippling. And if they neglect this time, the time will come when the consequences will be fatal and crippling. But you know, God gives you them when they're little. And you can, your object as parents is to bring them consequences when they're little, so that they can face consequences when they're old. You know, it's an amazing fact that all the physical world operates according to rules and regulations established by its maker. And you don't even have to believe that there is a maker to see this. I mean, all you have to do is open your eyes and know that the physical world operates by rules and regulations. You could be the deepest atheist in the world, but you would still know this. But somehow this truth escapes humankind, who believe it can operate by doing that which is right in their own eyes, and that things will result in line with their will. You know, it's an amazing thing. I mean, here this principle is over here, and yet over here in human relationships and actions, it doesn't exist. But you know, as believers, one thing we can be sure of, and one thing that will bring comfort to us, is that God will continue to be in charge of the disposing of what is caused by men. Those men over there in Cameroon, they're causing things, but God's going to dispose of it. That's the comfort. You know, the man can stand up and bloviate. Oh, how he bloviates. You know, bloviate is such a good word because it basically describes you expanding yourself like a big balloon. God comes along and he has a little tack, you know, just a tiny tack. While you bloviate, bam, Where is he? Oh, he's all over the place. But you know, God is still on the throne. And from that throne, all laws are commanded to do their work and will continue to do so until God says otherwise. You know, gravity, as well as all other laws, each day salute God's throne and declare to do their duty. Gravity reports for duty, sir, every day. So our proverb for today also declares to do its duty in that the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Now, in our last lesson, we don't have much time to go into this, but in our last lesson, we learned that the wicked desire the net of evil men in order to entrap other men. They look around and how are you doing it? That's a good idea. Let me use that. Let me use that trap. Let me use that snare. The man who digged a pit, the man who rolled a stone, learned of these traps from evil men, but soon found out that the pit and the stone, craftily placed for others, God directed be used upon the man. You know, God can command a stone. That stone salutes for duty. Yes, sir, I'll roll on that man. That pit can lure that man into the pit. He says, I wonder, where did I put that pit? You know, comes out the next day and looks for the pit, falls into it. But this is the principle of God's moral universe. If you teach your children to not run out into the street, to not touch the flame of a stove, and we all should do that. I hope we do that. This principle of reaping and sowing is more important than that. It's more important to be taught than those admonitions, for disregard of this principle will bring terrible consequences into their lives. Teach this principle of cause and effect. Now, you know, as I said, you teach this principle by bringing the consequences to them. We've talked about this in our Proverbs teaching about the proper chastisement of children, how to deal with children. You bring those consequences into their lives. Now, these consequences are built in the wicked man's actions against others. For in using nets to trap others, God has a snare to trap him. Be sure, what's the word? Be sure your sin will find you out. That right in there, that says it. Within sin, God has placed a detective. And that sin will find you out. That sin will point to you. That sin will say, you did it. Within sin, that's the case. And I think most of us could claim that by the experiences of our lives. And in this proverb, that snare is given as the transgression of his lips. Whoa. How many times our lips get us in trouble? Has anybody gone this far without that happening? Have you never said anything that you regretted? Wow. Wouldn't it be nice if your words had a rubber band on them that you could just pull them back? You could rewind, you know. But there's no rewind button on life. You know, there's no rerun. You can't ever say, I want to look at that and erase that. You can't do it. And that's what we're talking about. Within the wicked man's mouth is a trap which will catch him. But we'll stop there. I've got some more on this passage as we get into this study. But God's so good to us. You know, God's so good to us, giving us His Word. I am a believer in God's Word. I preach and teach God's Word. And it's so wonderful to do that. What a wonderful opportunity it is to teach and preach. And I know our pastors would say the same thing, because you know, you can have a crowd out there and nobody listening, but your ears are hearing it. My ears are hearing it. My heart is hearing it. And it's such a blessing to learn from God's Word and to be able to live according to God's Word. And as I said in Sunday school opening, this is a time of preparation. We've got difficult days ahead of us, so prepare. Be in prayer. Be in the Word. Be in the church services. Witness. Tell others. I think that God will bless us for it. Father, thank You so much for giving us this passage in Scripture, and we thank You, Lord, for the truths of Proverbs. Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege, Lord, of knowing how to rear children. If we pay attention to the Word of God, we can rear children for Christ. We can rear them, Lord, to be a blessing to us, to others, and to Thee. And we pray, Father, for the folks in this congregation that are still rearing children. We pray that they would pay attention to the Word of God and use the Word of God, Father, for we know that it will bring success. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.